All right, I'm here with Rain. Rain, tell me a little bit about yourself.
So my name's Rain Johnson, and I'm the Principal Research Director here at Microsoft Research Connections, focused on education research and then also growing women in computer science. And what our group does is we have the exciting job of working with the top academic institutions and think tanks from all around the world to really do research investigations and show that you can do it with Microsoft technologies and further that research with Microsoft technologies.
And tell us some of the programs that you have for young students.
So we focus on three major areas. You know, the first really looking at how do we grow the pipeline? How do we excite 7th, 8th, 9th grade girls to really want to take those courses that are needed so that they can get into a computer science program at the university level and really excite them to the potential. So we do programs to really do with game programming, programming on the phone, building applications on the phone, and then also a combination of prototyping and design with C programming. So they see all the different aspects and just don't think that programming's just sitting behind a computer being a programmer all day. And then the next area we really focus on is how do we get them successful at the university? So what are we doing to partner with the best universities around the country to really make sure that they're successful in undergraduate programs? How do we need to change undergraduate programs so that they're more friendly for girls? And then what do we do once they're there, they graduate, that they want to stay and get a graduate degree, a postdoc degree, and then eventually want to come to Microsoft Research and change the world and solve the world's hardest problems with computing?
Very cool. And so what are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to talk about ChronoZoom, which is my latest education research project that we're really excited about. And what ChronoZoom really does is, you know, think about when you're helping your child with their homework, how many endless hours they're searching the internet to do their research. Mm-hmm. And there's all these digital repositories, all of these collections, and then podcasts, RSS feeds, documents, PowerPoints, and you really don't know what's good quality and what's bad quality. And then at the same time, if we think about the best researchers around the world and the best lecturers that may sit in Harvard or Berkeley or Moscow State University or in Australia, if you don't take that class, you'll never hear that lecture. You'll never hear from that professor. You'll never get those insights. And then the second thing that's a really big challenge today is even though we say humanities and sciences work well together and they're starting to collaborate, we still really learn in silos. You know, if I take an East Asian studies course, I'm learning about 14th century China, but I didn't learn what happened in the Middle East. I didn't learn what happened in Africa. I didn't learn what happened in chemical reactions or in archaeology or even medical innovations. And our belief is that if you had all of that information in one place, you had a place where researchers from around the world could collaborate with each other, share their research, we would have totally different questions. We would have totally different investigations. We would have totally different insights. And we think that we could leapfrog innovations. And so that's how ChronoZoom came into being. ChronoZoom is an open source project led by University of Berkeley in California. It's really the child of Dr. Walter Alvarez and one of his students, Roland Sakow, who were really thinking about big history, which is a discipline that looks at the history of everything, cosmos, earth, life, pre-human history and humanity in one continuum, and to try and get students to understand 13.7 billion years ago to all the way today on one timeline was really, really difficult for the professor. And so Walter came to Microsoft Research asking, can you help us? And about 2 years ago, he worked with Live Labs, Microsoft Research, and we used Sea Dragon. And we had kind of this rasterized image that you could zoom in and zoom out. But the challenge with that is it was his story, one researcher's story, one view. And if you were to go into, like, for example, Pleiozoic, the average person doesn't know what Pleiozoic means. So you would have to leave the experience, go do a search on the internet or in a dictionary to figure out what that is. So we really wanted to create a multimedia experience. And instead of you having to search and pull things step by step, you could browse everything easily. You could zoom in and zoom out, and it could be very easily consumable. And that's the point of ChronoZoom.
So how do you do that? Because it seems like it'd be very difficult to find the things that you're looking for across 7 billion years. I have a hard enough time looking over the last year.
Yes. So the wonderful thing with ChronoZoom is we worked with about 25 different discipline experts around the world, the top researchers in astronomy, astrophysics, chemistry, marine biology, historians, and we used the storyline of Big History. So Big History breaks up the history of everything in what are called thresholds. And so you'll see here these 8 thresholds that jump down. And what a threshold is a significant event in time where the world got more and more complex. And so if we go look at the very first threshold, for example, and it takes us to the Big Bang, the beginning of the universe. And so what's exciting here is we have a lecture from the top Big History historian in the world, talking about the Big Bang and stepping us through the Big Bang. And as he's lecturing us, we also think about students. And students like to multitask. They lose their patience very easily. And so we can then navigate to the artifacts that are on the side. And we have all different types of images. So let's pause, David, for a second. And right here, I can go into this logarithmic scale. And you can see by just scrolling on my wheel, we have a gigapixel image that you can zoom in on the details.
It's a raster image?
Yep.
Very cool.
And then underneath it, the expert who helped us build the Big Bang, InfoDot, said, you know, this is a really good lecture at Khan Academy. And so we're pulling from the Khan Academy. We also have content from NASA and from the Library of Congress. And then what's also really important here is that, once again, you don't want too much content. Because if we have too much content, we're the internet again and you're confused.
Yeah.
So that's why we have the bibliography. And so not only does it have attributions for everything that's here, so if a student reference this in their report or their studies, but you can go to the best journal articles, the best websites, who experts around the Big Bang suggest you should go to. Because the difference between ChronoZoom and other ways of searching online is that this is developed by experts, research experts who know what's good quality and bad quality. So everything here has kind of an editorial board that peer reviews it to make sure that it's high quality you can trust.
It's a curated selection.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And so, you know, this goes to the first question for developers. We spent months trying to figure out the best layout. How do you do this? Should it be a square? Should it be a circle? How many artifacts do you have here? How do the artifacts automatically lay out in a database? How do you put this all in? Should it spin around? Should it be a sphere? And so all of those are really difficult questions to program in HTML5. So one of the things that people should see is that even though this is on an Azure backend, everything has been done in HTML5. So this wonderful zooming, where people thought that this was Sea Dragon and Silverlight,
yeah,
this is all HTML5 that we've replicated. And so we've spent a lot of time trying to work with a new protocol that,
yeah,
a lot of people haven't developed these kind of things to figure out how to do these pieces.
And it's very cool how you can zoom in now with video even.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have thought you'd be able to do that so smoothly.
And then the other cool thing, this is the other thing that, you know, will whet the appetites of our developers. That one of the hard things that we had to do here is that a lot of this work, because it's HTML5, we had to do in JScript. And so with JScript, the frames per second don't go the speed that we like. And so imagine we're going from 13.7 billion years ago, and I'm going to take us to humanity, which is the last 3,000 years of written humanity. This is a nanopixel of resolution. Up here in this corner is humanity that you can't really see. And we're going to have to fly at 2 billion years per second to get to the last 3,000 years. And so programming that algorithm is a feat in itself. And what is exciting about all this is what you're seeing here was done by students, undergraduate and graduate students at Moscow State University. So what we really wanted to spend our time in, instead of hiring vendors like we typically do and build all this ourselves, we really wanted to build it with the academic community. So all the content you see is created by students at UC Berkeley with these experts from around the world. And 80% of all of this development you've seen has been done with students with guidance with our Microsoft research engineers who have helped teach them through the process. What's also exciting is that students in universities aren't taught testing. They don't know about testing. They don't know about automated tests. They don't know about bulk testing. And so our test lead here at Microsoft Research taught 6 students how to test, the proper ways of testing, and how to really do agile development. And so that was very exciting. And as you can see, the students have done a fabulous job. So now that we're in humanity, why don't I jump in and I'm going to put on my old teacher hat. That was one of the things that brought me to Microsoft, is that I felt that it was probably one of the only technology companies that could really transform education. And so as a teacher in math and computer science, I really wanted to do more with technology. So I'm going to put a hat on as I'm a history teacher, and we're going into the Industrial Revolution. And if we can think back when we did world history or even U.S. history, we learned about the Industrial Revolution, but we never learned what happened in Britain. We didn't learn what happened in Western Europe or Russia and Japan. So now we're trying to bring in different geographies in the world, the different disciplines in the world, and soon you'll see Africa and China coming here with new partners who are coming on board. And so we'll just take a first step and go into the U.S. And of course, we all know in 1776 the Declaration of Independence was signed, but how many of us have really read the Declaration of Independence? And so we have right here in full print that you can read, and you don't have to leave ChronoZoom. And of course, you know, you can go to full screen and the whole works, and be able to read for us who have bad eyesight. But let's exit the full screen. And then if we go back to ChronoZoom, and let's zoom out for a second and really look here and say, okay, what else happened in 1776? Now that we're using time as the main twist instead of topics, we can start seeing interesting things. Like, I read The Wealth of Nations, but I had no idea it was written in 1776. So how much did Adam Smith influence our founding fathers in the United States? And once again, the book is here in full, so you can read the book if you haven't read it today. And then let's zoom out again. And so I'm going to zoom out and look up again and see what else has happened in 1776. And I'm like, ah, there's one more thing that happened here. And hey, we all knew the Watt steam engine is what really started the Industrial Revolution. But did we know the Industrial Revolution really started 1776 when we signed the Declaration of Independence? And how much did that Watt steam engine affect what we did in the United States? So there's all of these cause and effect relationships, which leads to another ask from our developer world. And so when you have cause and effect, we haven't really decided yet. How do we depict that? Is it that we turn this dot blue and then everything else that's related turns blue? Do we add lines? Do we filter everything else out? And so those are all different ways of doing this. And we're not sure which is right yet. And so this is why we have Take Our Survey. So what we're really trying to do is make ChronoZoom made by the community. We hope by the end of summer we have over 500,000 people responding to this survey telling us what kind of navigation you want. We ask you, do you want to see cause and effect relationship this way or this way? Help us prioritize the next set of features. So we have this huge long feature list, but should we do a third-party authoring tool first, or should we create a community site first? So there's a lot of questions that we're asking the developer world and also the academic world who's using this. What's exciting is that it's an Apache 2.0 license. Everybody can go to CodePlex today, download it. We tell you how to do it. You can start it off on your staging server, play with it, help us build the next sets of features. Since we're using Moscow State University, we're also looking at working other universities and bringing more computer science students on board to build out the next sets of features for ChronoZoom. Because if you look at ChronoZoom, one thing that we've done very differently than a lot of Microsoft research projects is we've put in probably the minimum amount of content and minimum amount of code for you to understand what we're trying to accomplish here. Because what we want to do is, many of times we say we have an open source project, we're opening it up to the world, but it has 5 million lines of code. And it's so complex, people are scared to jump into it. Don't know where to begin or where to start. You have so much content and so much features. Is Microsoft really going to listen to my feedback? Is my feedback really valued? So what we really want to show the community is your feedback is valued. This is made for you, by you, students in your world, and we're not going to move on making the next sets of features until we get enough people responding to the survey and telling us. So back to the demo, I just want to show you life now and show you from kind of a researcher point of view. So if I'm a researcher and I'm really using ChronoZoom to work with other researchers, you begin to see how different disciplines look at time differently. So there's a geological time scale that's very, very different from the archaeological time scale, which is very different from meteorological. And so if you look at bringing all these worlds together, like in life, because you start bringing in biology, archaeology, anthropology, all in these places, we take you to what Dr. Alvarez has started to begin building, because his interest really lies in dinosaurs and the dinosaur extinction. And he was able to figure out the significant event. And for him to do that, he had to work with archaeologists, anthropologists, paleontologists, and get everybody to work together. And he was really frustrated because there was no tool, there was no way to collaborate for them to be able to speak different worlds and come to a solution. So he's started to work with his collaborators to start building the dinosaur timeline for people. And so in here you'll see the famous lecture he gave on the extinction of dinosaurs.
And for 10 years people kept saying, well, where's the crater? And we were embarrassed because they'd say, you predict a huge...
Now, the reason why I show this and what the implications are is just think about it today. If you weren't a student at UC Berkeley, you would never have seen this lecture. Now, you do see that it is a Vimeo, so I could do a search, but you would need to know what you're searching for. And the power of ChronoZoom is we're working with the best lecturers and the best researchers around the world. And our first ask to all of them was, give us your best lecture. Let's put your lecture online. So now we'll hear lectures from professors in China, professors from Australia, professors from Europe, and then their best research that supports it. So he has here images from NASA that he's got. He's got fossils that he himself has put together. He's got information from the KT boundary in Italy. And so all of this information is at your fingertips with the one expert who knows the most about this subject. And that's what gets us really excited about ChronoZoom.
And where can people go to check this out for themselves?
So it's live today. You can go to ChronoZoomProject.org and play with it. Use it. Please get your students and your children to work with it and give us feedback.
Take the survey.
The other fun thing to do is we have a tour icon here. And so if you go here, you can listen to tours that were done by students. To give an example, if I'm in World War II, what I've asked the students is to tell us a story that was really important in cultural preservation. One of the things that we believe in working with professors and teachers is we stop telling stories in the world. And stories are the best way for them to live on. And as fun as it is to browse ChronoZoom, there are times you want somebody to kind of talk you through and walk you through and tell you what you're looking at and why you're looking at it.
One of my favorite parts of the Worldwide Telescope Project.
Exactly. We learned a lot from our good buddies here at Microsoft Research.
Hello, my name is Cecily. I'm a third-year psychology student at the University of California, Berkeley. This timeline is part of a project I've been working on for my big history class. Let me take you on a brief tour. The Japanese-American
and so knowing students, they may get bored, so they can fast forward to a point that seems interesting to them.
Our story begins after the United States entered World War II.
I can pause. I can then explore content on the side. So for example, here is the executive order for Japanese internment. And continue to fast forward until I get to a point that's interesting to me and continue to listen.
Temporary locations for the Japanese American.
The other cool thing that we learned from working with teachers is that we have here narration on and off. And the reason for that is if you're standing in front of class, you don't want to play somebody's tour and you kind of feel silly standing there. Secondly, locally, we have lots of different stories. So we all know in Seattle, we have a huge wealth of stories of Japanese internment. And so one of the teachers that we were working with at Lake Washington High School said, you know, I love the content you have here because this content is relevant if you're living in Seattle or if you're living in California. So I can tell my own story of what happened here in Seattle, use a lot of the content that's here, but then tell my students tonight, I want you to watch Cecily's tour. I want you to tell me what happened in California, and then write a comparative essay. How did we treat them in Washington versus how Japanese were treated in California? How was it different? How was it similar? And so there's a lot of learning opportunities for students here. So one thing that I think people would be interested is behind the scenes, if you click on behind the scenes. So we here tell you the history of Chronozoom, how the project came into being, what were some of the challenges we faced. You've got images of the students in Berkeley, our team here at Microsoft Research, the team in Moscow, and then all the different advisors and organizations that worked with us on this project. And so it kind of gives you some good understanding. We also list out what are the features next. So if there's any of those great Microsoft developers who want to help out in their off time, there's a bunch of stuff that we need help with. And we're very excited that Chronozoom will continue to live from what UC Berkeley hopes forever as they're building the center for bridging the gap between the humanities and sciences. And I think the last thing that's really important is that back with my other job of growing women in computing, as we've been talking to students, they never realized that computer science can really build tools to help learning be more fun. And what is so hard about building a tool like this? And so a lot of the students are now more excited about computer science, want to understand more about the STEM and scientific fields because of this tool and because it's so relevant to their everyday learning.
Great. It's an incredible visualization project for the universe.
Yes, it is.
Very nice. Well, thanks so much for showing us this today.
You're welcome. Thank you.